We read the Word of God as we find it in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13. The text the Lord gives to us this morning is found in the 17th verse. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereby they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if ye come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Our text that God gives is the 17th verse, Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The emphasis of the text is on the duty of the church toward those whom God puts as office bearers in the church. But even as that receives the emphasis in the text, our duty to obey and to submit ourselves to them, it also contains much about the duties, especially of elders, but also of deacons towards the church. So we have a combination of the two, but the emphasis is on our calling toward those whom God is pleased to rule us by. Obey them that rule over you. I'm going to take that, those words of the text as our theme. And the first point is what we must do. And the second is why we must do that. First, what must we do? It's an interesting word in the Greek that is translated obey. It's interesting because it does not just speak to external actions. This is what you're told to do, do it. But instead, it talks about and emphasizes that which precedes the activity of obedience. Literally, it means this. Pay attention to listen. Pay attention to listen with a view to being persuaded. Allow yourself to be persuaded. Do the things that are necessary within your own mind and soul so that you are willingly persuaded. That's the idea of that word. So you can see the obvious emphasis is not on the external compliance, but on something that has to take place inside. And it tells us that real obedience always begins within. Real obedience is an attitude where wanting to obey, I am ready to listen so that I can be persuaded. There's a parallel when it comes to the hearing the Word of God. Usually we think about the Bereans in Acts 17 that they searched the Word of God diligently to see whether the things they heard were so. And that is an activity of the Bereans. But we ought to remember the Bereans more for what they did prior to searching the Scriptures diligently. A greater description, a better description of the attitude of the Bereans is this. They received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures. They received it with readiness of mind. That's the idea behind the word obey. Why do we have to be told that? Well, every one of us who has any level of spiritual maturity knows. I have to be told that because my inclination is not wanting to be persuaded. In fact, my natural inclination is that I will persuade you. Give me any problem, give me any conflict. I'm not ready to listen as much as ready to persuade. Obey them that have the rule over you is to take a hold of that natural inclination that's residing in every son of Adam, every son and daughter of Adam, and to squash it, mortify that selfish perspective, mortify it, and instead to take upon ourselves that virtue that godly virtue of Christ, of meekness, of realizing that whatever I know nothing yet as I ought to know it. But especially when it comes to those that God has set over me. And that's not only, we may say and must say, to be the perspective that we take with regard to the office bearers in the church of which we're a member. But instead of spontaneously expressing our disagreement, and how could in the wide world could they ever think and to do that, an attitude about office bearers in other congregations of the true church, or of a classis, or a synod. God tells us here, you work, you listen, you put yourself into that frame of mind where you pay attention to listen, and you take instead, there must be something that I'm not getting. There must be more than what I know. I want to be persuaded. So I'm going to listen. That's the word obey. There's an implication about our natures, but there's also this implication as far as the work of the office bearers are concerned. In the world, when God distributes some of His authority, He gives some the power of the sword. He persuades us with the sword. In His church, the only power that elders and deacons have in all of their work is the power of the Word. The Word is the instrument, the only instrument that they must use. And that's why to obey starts with pay attention, listen. Listen to what? Listen to anything and everything they say? No, listen to the Word of God that they bring. Hear what God says. So it's going to be the power of the Word that we're going to be listening for in order to be persuaded. The second duty is submit ourselves. To submit is willingly to place oneself under. So it's the same perspective. It's not talking about external action. It's talking about an internal frame of mind. It's talking about the kind of attitude that we have to have, again, that arises from that same excellent virtue of Jesus Christ, of meekness and humbleness of mind. I'm not equal to, I'm not better than, I put myself under. I put myself under. I accept their authority. I subject myself to them. I yield to them. The opposite, of course, of that is to set myself above them, or I know better. They don't get it. What in the wide world are they thinking? Attitude. That's the opposite of submit. Once again, when Adam said, I know better than God, I know what's better for me. I'll take and determine for myself what's right and wrong. He gave to every single one of us the nature that's very much the same. And he calls us here. Now, obey, submit, yield. Those two fit together because the latter is what really precedes the former. In order to obey, to pay attention, in order to hear and be persuaded, I must be willing to put myself under. Only when I yield to them will I be of the spiritual frame of mind to be persuaded by them. If I refuse to submit, if I'm going to approach them with this perspective, I'm going to hear what they have to say. Maybe I'll agree and maybe I won't. Then I'm never going to obey. I'm never going to want to be persuaded. But when I put myself in a position of yielding, then I'm going to want to be persuaded by the truth that they say. Yield, submit, and obey. Those two activities arise out of three reasons that are given in the text. The first reason is them that have the rule over you. If you listened with any degree of attention to the form, then and the questions that they answered, especially the first one, if you listen to any degree, then you know that these men have not put themselves in these offices. And I know we all know that. But again, because of our natures, every single one of us needs to be reminded of that. God put them here. That first question, do you believe that you've been called by God's church and therefore by God Himself to these, your respective offices? There's a part of a human nature that says, I want the office. I like to be in charge. Let me be the bishop. Let me set things straight. There's times when that's in us. There's other times when the concept of the office, you want to run. Get me as far away from it as possible. Sometimes the reason is, put myself up as a target. Why do I want that? Sometimes the reason is, I'm not smart enough. I don't have the gifts and the abilities to do that. Give it to others. And there's all kinds of other reasons in between why the office is pushed away, stiff-armed. God is the God of all authority. And God has given authority over His church to Jesus Christ, His Son. He calls him the head and the king of his church. Jesus sits enthroned at God's right hand. But Jesus exercises authority over his church, and he's pleased to do that through instruments, through human means. He does that in the sphere of the home. He does that in the sphere of labor. He does that in the sphere of the government. And he does that in the sphere of the church. In the sphere of the church, he gives that authority to men that he puts in, and this is why we call them offices. The office. An office is to visibly represent the invisible Lord. An office, a visible representation of the invisible Lord. Office of elder, office of deacon, office of minister. Visible representations of the invisible king, head of the church. That authority that Christ has is the authority that now he exercises over the flock, the shepherd. And therefore, in very many ways, they're called under-shepherds or pastors. The commentaries on the church order specifically do that when they identify the elders. They give to the elders the name pastor. They are as much responsible for the pasturing of the flock as the minister of the word. So the thing that we must do when answering that first question, why must we submit and obey, seek to be persuaded, put ourselves under? It is because in doing that, we're really doing it to the Lord, who put them in these offices over us. We are required to yield to that authority. We are required not to resist that authority. We are required to fight against that natural tendencies that in us, and instead yield ourselves to pay attention to Christ and to his authority. And as we mature spiritually and we become more aware not only of our sins but of our sinfulness, we become increasingly aware that the nature of that sinfulness is that we have a stubborn, resentful will and heart. That's our nature. Put off. Put on, put off that resentful, stubborn, self-centered nature. Put on submission and obedience. Recognize that God has called every office bearer in the church to rule over us. The second reason our text gives for why we must obey and submit is very interesting. They watch for your souls. They watch for your souls. Here's the figure. They are alert. They are to be attentive. Literally sleepless. They are to be circumspect and ready. Watch. The figure is you're ill physically. When you're not feeling well, you go to the webmed.com, right? or you go to a doctor. And that doctor is going to be listening. How are you feeling? What's your problem? What brings you here? And in his watching over your physical body, he is going to listen to you describe your symptoms. And he is going to take the knowledge that he has of medicine and of the human body. He's going to take all these things and he's going to ask questions. He's going to ask further questions. Where does it hurt? When does it hurt? When are you uncomfortable? All sorts of questions physically. And when he's finished with those questions, he's going to come to a diagnosis. And he's going to then prescribe something for you. Eat less. Exercise more. Take this med. He's going to give... And you know what we're going to do? We're going to listen. We're going to go there because we want to be persuaded and learn, what can I do so that I can feel better? For as much willingness that there is on our part to pay attention to what a physician's assistant or a physician will tell us about us physically, how much more ought to be the attention that we give to those who watch for our souls? That's the idea. They're calling elders and deacons, each in their own different ways, is to watch for a soul. Maybe that's obvious for the elders. Deacons, let's talk about them just a minute. The first duty of the deacons, that usually in times of our prosperity is not a big problem. They have to be diligent in collecting the alms. In the time of the Depression, that was a tremendous duty. They were very conscious of that calling. Nowadays, they have to make an announcement, and usually the Church of God responds so generously and graciously. But the first duty is to make sure that the souls of God's people are in the right frame of mind to be willing to respond cheerfully and graciously of the abundance that they've been gifted with. So the deacons watch for our souls to make sure that we are not forgetting to let brotherly love continue, not forget to entertain strangers, to be generous, to be gracious, to give liberally. They watch for our souls in that regard. Secondly, they watch for the souls of those that are in need. They bring words of comfort to them. Yes, they watch the dollars and the cents, but more importantly, they are to be there to care for the souls of those who receive. So much more the elders. Sheep, lambs have souls. They have constant need to stay healthy. Often, the normal way in which God feeds his flock is through the proclamation of the gospel from Sabbath to Sabbath. But the whole purpose and place of visiting our homes annually is to get a little insight into each particular family and individual. But when the individuals come and ask for help, then they, just as much as a physical physician, work to know what's going on inside. What are your hurts? What are your sorrows? What are the afflictions and the crosses that you carry? How has the devil attacked you? How has the devil confused you? How can you do something to grow and to become better, more healthy spiritually? That's the work of the elders. They watch for your soul. Feed the flock, Acts 20, verse 28. Pasture them. Not just make sure the food is there, protect them from wolves. Make sure that the little irritants that the sheep can have are cleaned off from them. Make sure that there aren't bully sheep that bother the little weaker ones. Watch for the souls of the flock. And we, because we know they're watching for our souls, we have to be willing to open ourselves to them. Just as quickly as we're ready to go to a doctor for a physical problem, so spiritually, spiritual life is every part of our whole being. It's underneath and it beats in every part of our day and week and year. And our calling is to use these men whose calling it is to be the spiritual physicians of our souls, so that we will submit to their good instruction and advice. This is what you ought not to be doing anymore. This is what you ought to be doing. Follow this. Take this spiritual medicine. There's the idea. They watch for your souls. Now, if we are to submit to them, first of all, because they have the rule over us, that's pretty obvious. That's the first thing all of us would think of. But then secondly, it's rather interesting that we say that we are to submit and obey them because they watch for our souls. Then it's even more interesting when we get to the third reason. The third reason is this. Be aware that they have to give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. This is a unique way to look at the judgment day. In anticipation of the judgment day, elders also are aware that they give an accounting. But the results are not heard until the judgment day. But the judgment day is that time when every single human being is brought before the Lord Jesus Christ and the books are opened concerning how we use the talents and the opportunities that were given to us. The judgment day is when Christ will render an accounting to each and every person for how they use the talents and the time, the opportunities that were given to them. Our text looks at that from the perspective of the individual who comes before Him. God will give the accounting. He will give the record. He will tell us what He thinks. Now remember, about that judgment day, we're going to walk in as sheep. The reprobate will walk in as goats. We're going to learn how much forgiveness, how much wisdom, how much love, how much gracious power God has exercised in our lives throughout our whole life. We're going to learn that. That's the chief goal. But now, in order to persuade the sheep today who still have the sheep nature of wanting to wander their own way, in order to help persuade us of the calling to obey and submit to those that he puts over us, he tells us that those office bearers, those in authority, now it's not just office bearers in the church, but it's every office bearer, is going to have to give an accounting. Now they look at it from the perspective of the sheep. We're going to have to give an accounting. How did you exercise your time in office? How did you give yourselves in service? How did you perform your work? Did you watch? Did you pray for wisdom? Did you pray for discernment to really be able to understand those personalities that are so different from your own? But they're genuine, real parts of the body of Jesus Christ. But they're as different from you as a kidney is from a thumb. But you want to understand them. And you want to care for that soul. And you need to help that soul. And you need to look out for its best. They must give an accounting. Now, that tells the elders and the deacons a lot. They have to give an accounting. But once again, the perspective of the apostle is to get into us, the sheep, and to say, the reason you have to remember to persuade yourself to be willing to listen and to be persuaded by the care that elders and deacons give to you, be able to remember this. They have to give an accounting, and you, for your own sake, want to have them give an accounting with joy and not with grief. The greatest joy for a godly man, and the greatest joy for a godly woman, true spiritual joy, is when the truth of God and of Christ enters into the mind and understanding, but then into the soul of a child of God. And he's reminded of the awesome care and love that his Father gives to him. And he learns of that. And there's no greater joy than to know about God's love and care for him. That's why no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. And when the elders and the deacons feed us with the word, there's no greater joy than when old truths are brought again to our mind, or they're brought to us in a new and different and refreshing way. And the wonder of that care and that love that the shepherd gives to us thrills. And what a joy to energize men who've worked all day and then have to work at night in the care of the flock. And they may, as humans, now I got to go out tonight, another night. But then they come home and they're energized. And sometimes the wife doesn't get it. He's gone again. But he comes home with a smile because of the experience that God gave him when he heard from God what God had him say. And he saw on the faces and in the responses of the sheep that they caught that joy and they share it. Grief is, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Grief is, did you even study and read it? Grief comes from, their integrity is questioned and their motives are challenged and their orthodoxy is put into public question. But the office bearers are going to continue to labor in love no matter how much grief is brought, because they know they're loved and they know that the love that God gives to the sheep, especially when the sheep wander, they're going to keep loving. They're going to keep feeding. They're going to keep nourishing. They're going to keep bringing the word. But if their care of us has to be with grief and not with joy, that's not profitable. That's not beneficial for us. Go back to the beginning. Obey them. Listen with a view to being willingly persuaded. Yield. They watch for your souls. They must give an account. You want them to do it with joy. May God give us all that perspective. And then we may know God's blessing is great. Amen. Our Father, we thank Thee for this word. Thou dost prick us. We bow our heads in shame at the memory of some of the attitudes that we've had in the past. Oh Lord, keep us from that in the future. To Thee do we bow in humble adoration. Help us to grow in humbleness of mind. Bless the office bearers. Bless their mates and their children. Keep them and care for them all through this experience of serving Thy church. We thank Thee for those who have. We thank Thee for their generosity. We thank Thee for their wives and children who willingly gave their mates and fathers for the service of the church. Thou art greatly to be praised. Thanks, Lord. Amen.